Welcome to this week's episode of the Jewish Diaspora Report. On this week's episode, we talk about how the West is West-splaining and scapegoating. Let's get started. On our last podcast last week, we talked a little bit about how the West is infantilizing the Palestinian Arab people and not taking them at their word about what they keep telling us they're going to do and what they want. Interestingly, one of our avid followers sent me a message recently with some very cool information in a podcast that I should listen to. And this podcast is between the Israeli spokesperson Elon Levy and author and former member of Knesset, Einat Wilf, about the term she's coined from her book, The War of Return, to try and explain how and why the West seems to always get the Palestinian Arab message wrong. This term she uses is called West-splaining. Here's a clip of Einat Wilf explaining it from Elon Levy's podcast, Israel, State of a Nation.
So West-splaining is a term I invented as I was writing the book, The War of Return. And like mansplaining, it has the same attitude of explaining what someone else said perfectly clearly.
And in this case, it is the West explaining what
Palestinians have very clearly said. So it's when Western diplomats and journalists explain away what Palestinians have just said. So Palestinians will clearly say, from the river to the sea, we don't want two states, only one.
And the West doesn't hear it that way. They explain it otherwise.
Exactly. They'll explain that they are just expressing anger and resentment, or it's about the occupation or the settlements. And there will be lots of explanations.
This is a great interview, and I would definitely suggest for anybody else out there who wants to hear more, there's a great amount of detail that she goes into, examples of West-splaining that she's seen and dealt with. Elon Levy also talks about the West-splaining that he's dealt with among media sources and places like the BBC. But the reason that I bring this up this week is not to gloat about how brilliant I am, because last week I was speaking about the same thing, but the fact that we have seen the West get involved so heavily in this region. Like I said in last week's podcast, it's interesting how many Western nations like to get involved, yet don't really involve themselves this heavily in pretty much any other conflict in the world. And it shows this infantilizing of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, like both are children and the Palestinian Arabs are even younger children that have literally no control over anything they're doing. But this week, I'd like to speak a little bit more about a new clip that's come out that really blew my mind. I don't pretend to be an incredible scholar that knows everything on this conflict or has nothing to learn, but I really found this amazing clip online that made me think. It actually really changed my perspective. I have never thought of this before, and it really is game-changing, and I really wanted to share it with my listeners because I think it's worth talking about. Some of my listeners and many of our followers on JDR.podcast may already follow this amazing account known as That Semite. Yirmiyahu Danzig, online content creator and educator, posted two of these clips online, and I really want to play them for you so you can hear it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit after each clip. Here's Yirmiyahu Danzig speaking about how the West has gotten involved in the current situation in the Middle East. I apologize in advance because this clip was taken off of social media, and therefore it was sped up.
We need to stop being gaslit, and we need to tell people there is a reality of systemic anti-Semitism that exists in countries across the planet. And in the way that it manifests is first and foremost situating the Jews as the convenient oppressor, as the scapegoat who's truly responsible for all of society's collective sins. If you have a problem with colonialism, the Jews are responsible for colonialism. If you have a problem with crony capitalism, the Jews are responsible for crony capitalism. If you got a problem with the music industry, the Jews are responsible for the problems in the music, etc., etc., etc. Right now, we're all throughout the planet, we're coming to a place in which we're understanding that human rights matter. And the people that are in the places of decision-making on the international level have made a very clear statement that the international Jew, to use Henry Ford's anti-Semitic language, is the person who is disproportionately responsible for the violation of human rights on the international level. Just look at the UN. How does it make sense? The first decade of the founding of the Human Rights Council of the United Nations, close to 50% of the resolutions are targeting Israel. Does anybody really think that the Jewish state, the state of Israel, is responsible for 50% of the world's human rights violations? Nobody except a vehement Jew hater would agree with that notion. Yet the masses are being bamboozled into thinking that that must be the case.
Again, I apologize for the fact that it sounds like Yirmiyahu doesn't breathe when he speaks, but I'm sure that none of you really feel like this was the mind-blowing statement that I was talking about. This isn't that unusual. We've heard about anti-Semitism throughout the ages, where the Jewish people sort of take on whatever negative aspect of society that the world wants to give us. If it's capitalism, we are capitalists. If it's communists, if it's poor, if it's rich, we could be everything to everybody all at once, because the reality is we just are a stand-in put in the place of whatever the evil demons are of that society for that time. We saw the Nazis did this very well, making sure that the Jews were both poor rats infesting the entire country, at the same time being rich and controlling everything, including the banks and all of government and all of these things. And so this isn't really that controversial, what Yirmiyahu is saying. He's essentially saying that anti-Semitism exists everywhere, and anti-Semitism has always been the scapegoating of Jews. Now, in our next clip, you'll hear where the more mind-blowing theory came in. And this is where I really want to talk about this idea that I'd never thought of before, and it seems to make so much sense.
The West is going through a period of reckoning and reconciling themselves with their own disturbing history, the disturbing parts of their history, I should say. Being able to effectively do so has necessitated the use terms like white settler, colonizer, colonization, apartheid, genocide, ethnic cleansing, because we know that these are inseparable parts of the history of the West and the expansion of European civilization across the planet. Unfortunately, there's another aspect of European civilization which we're seeing emerge in the context of its dialectic with Israel and the Jewish people, and that's the tendency to scapegoat the Jews for uncomfortable aspects of their own societal reality. The collective sin of the society today are these realities of colonialism, the legacies of colonialism, of imperialism. And out of a desire to deal with that in a healthy way has emerged the anti-Semitic version of that, the anti-Semitic distortion of that desire to have a real, meaningful dialogue about the legacy of imperialism and colonialism. So instead of having that conversation, anti-Semites, as they do in every civilization on the planet, come into that space and redirect that energy to scapegoat, the most convenient scapegoat of history, the Jewish people, when the reality is that we don't fit cleanly into any of those definitions. The return of the Jewish people to their ancestral homeland, to return to sovereignty in their ancestral homeland, certainly messy, but it cannot be compared to the European colonial imperial project.
For those who maybe had trouble understanding because the clip was taken off the internet or because it was going too quickly, maybe you'll have to go back and rewind and listen to it again. Generally, what Yirmiyahu is saying here is that the West is now dealing with the reckoning of its own colonialist powers, its own treatment of minorities, its own treatment of people who they had to colonize or apartheid against when we talk about South Africa or even the Jim Crow laws of the United States. This new idea behind DEI and understanding our own past and dealing and reckoning with our mistakes that we have made as countries is a great thing in many ways, and it's happening all over the world. But instead of what would normally happen, which is people accepting their own blame in this, we see an old tactic happening, just like we would have seen in the medieval times or in the Tsarist Russia, where rather than accepting that this was their own fault as a country, as people who did these things, we need to find a scapegoat to blame. And it actually blew my mind to hear this because I never put that together. And well done to Yirmiyahu for bringing this up, because I think it is incredible to finally connect those dots. Believe it or not, this actually starts to make sense how we ended up here for the first time. How did we end up with this rise in leftists sort of DEI policies and reckoning with our history and the challenging issues that we faced in the past? And how did we get to hating the Jews? But now it makes sense. And in order to make sense of this, I had to travel back to Tsarist Russia. In Tsarist Russia, many scholars believe that the idea of a pogrom, this would be an anti-Jewish riot in towns around Russia, killing many, causing a whole bunch of damage, burning down villages, and expelling groups of Jewish people out of the region. These pogroms would happen every so often. And the idea behind them, at least scholars believe, was this was actually known as a release valve by the czars and by leaders. Whenever tensions would grow because a society was struggling with issues or having problems within its own region, the czars, rather than take accountability for what they had done, would actually purposefully send violent, hate-filled mobs against specific Jewish towns, blaming those Jews for all of the society's problems. And they believe that this release valve of murdering hundreds and hundreds of Jews, expelling them from the region, burning down their towns, this was the release valve where people would be kind of done with, okay, whew, we're good. Now we can go back to our regular lives. And the czar or the leader of the town or whoever started this pogrom would be good for another 5-10 years until things started to boil up again. So when I think of czarist Russia and having to direct the hate and the anger of your country against a certain group of people in order to release that pressure, what Yirmiyahu is suggesting is essentially that's exactly what's happening now with Israel. The world is reckoning with colonization, colonial pasts, treatment of minority groups, ethnic cleansings. A lot of these things the Western nations were completely involved with. They almost invented ethnic cleansings and kicking people out of their own regions. Colonizing was literally the way the West became the West is from colonization. So there's no doubt that these people are actually behind all of these issues. Yet they're not taking responsibility for it. We don't hear today the British going around and giving back all of the things they've stolen. The entire British Museum, which is filled with India's things, with Canada's things, with Australia's things. They stole everything in their colonization. But now we're starting to reckon with these things, and it looks like all of these Western nations are focusing all of the hate and the pain and the fear and the anger, everything against Israel, and putting all of those labels on them so the world will hate them and not the actual leaders and their own country. It makes them feel a little bit better, like, okay, whew, it's not our country. It's some other country doing all of these things. We could forget about the fact that we did that many years ago and just focus on the fact that Israel's doing it today, which it's not, by the way. So countries like South Africa, who has a history of literally apartheid, that's actually what they did. They invented, essentially, an apartheid state, telling Israel that they are an apartheid. It's a way of deflecting and blaming the Jews, i.e. Israel, for an apartheid, something that they did and Israel is definitely not doing. But it's a way to release that pressure of the world's hatred of Western colonial apartheid states. When we talk about the issue of white settlers, we obviously are talking about the white settlers from Britain, France, Spain. They took over the entire world, right? That's literally what they did for so many years of their colonies, taking over the world, extracting their wealth, killing the people locally, causing all kinds of problems, even expelling the locals in order to put their own people in there to work for that wealth. But what do? We don't want to acknowledge the fact that all of our colonies and colonizations were a problem. We blame Israel for being white settlers, despite the fact that half or more than half of Israel are not even classified visually as white. These people are from North Africa, from the Middle East. These people are not white, yet they are white settlers. Not to mention also the fact, in order to be a settler, you have to have no claim to that land. And everybody other than, unfortunately, the brainwashed, understand that Israel did have a place in that land. The history, the archaeology, everything proves it was their land to begin with. Wherever you want to start the date from, Israel was there. Even in the Quran, it says that Israel and the Jews existed in that land. So why are we fighting over who belongs there and who's white? This is a way, again, of releasing the tension right now in Western society, grappling with their own history of colonization and trying to push that onto the Jewish state and blame the Jews for something that the West had done themselves. And lastly, when we talk about the issue of genocide or ethnic cleansing, it's just unbelievable to me to actually try and put that on Israel or the Jewish people. Most recently, the Brazilian government had suggested that Israel is doing to the Palestinian Arabs and the people of Gaza what happened to the Jews in World War II. And this is just such a ridiculous idea to put this on Israel. We've talked about the ICJ coming out and suggesting that there is no genocide happening in Gaza right now, and that this is absolutely not the same thing. There are plenty of countries out there who've sat back while the Jewish people were having a genocide happen against them. People today have sat back and done nothing about the Armenian genocide that happened. People still claim it never happened, thanks to the work of Turkey and making sure they flood the information out there that it never happened. We know it happened. The Armenian genocide happened, and the world sat by and today still barely speaks about it. The Jewish genocide happened, known as the Holocaust, and yet the world sat by and watched as Jewish people were led to the slaughter in gas chambers. And the story goes that the Allies knew about these gas chambers and didn't bomb it because they claimed it wasn't a worthy enough target. The ending of the murder of Jewish people was not a worthy enough target during World War II. Can we come up with any other idea of sitting back and allowing something to happen? It's because they didn't really care about the Jews either. So for these countries who sat back and watched a genocide happen against the Jews to now call the Jewish state someone committing genocide with no evidence, with absolutely no similarities to World War II, it is an outrageous accusation. But it just shows what Yirmiyahu is saying is that the world is reckoning with the issues that they have caused, what colonialists have caused, what people who did apartheid caused, the United States with their Jim Crow laws or South Africa. And rather than dealing with it themselves and accepting the problem, they are taking that pent-up rage in their countries about what their countries had done and move that and push that off to the Jews. Just like they did in World War II when the Nazis blamed the Jews for everything, or in Tsarist Russia when the Jews were blamed for everything, or in medieval times when they blamed the Jews for the Black Death. No matter what happens in your country, when something bad happens, the easiest scapegoat was always the Jewish people, and it was so easy to turn your people against them, and then that pressure would be released, and you can go back to regular life in control, and your people are subservient, and no one is uprising against their government. It's the easiest thing and the oldest thing to do. In the end, it's really incredible to see what the West is doing here. The West is, first of all, and most importantly, West-splaining what is going on in the Middle East. They are telling the Israelis what they're saying about wanting peace is a lie. What the Palestinians are saying, which is full-throated support of terror, is not really what they mean. They're West-splaining on how the Jews should handle what's going on in Israel and how the Israelis should handle it. They're West-splaining that when someone says something anti-Semitic that they really didn't mean it, or maybe we're being too sensitive. They keep telling us how to feel. Meanwhile, at the same time, scapegoating us and fueling that fire, just like we saw in Tsarist Russia. They were fueling the fire against the Jews. They themselves are now perpetrating the same campaign of hate and smearing against the Jewish state in order to put Jews in more of a risky situation, because they themselves are claiming that we are white colonizers, that we are settling in our own land, that we are committing apartheid and genocide. All of these are lies aimed at the Jewish state and by extension Jews who support that Jewish state, which then leads to pogroms, either actual pogroms, we're seeing people being injured or hurt on the streets all around the world, or acts of pogroms like the disgusting displays we're seeing of people damaging buildings, attacking and accosting verbally Jewish people in the streets, protests calling for intifada, which they, of course, tell us that doesn't really mean intifada. That's some sort of spiritual intifada or some lie that they tell us what it really means. We know what it means. They've been doing it to us for many years now. And most importantly, the governments of the world and the West especially need to stop using the Jewish people and the Jewish state as a scapegoat for their problems in the world and the things that they've caused. Because like Yirmiyahu said, they need to stop scapegoating in order to justify why they didn't do anything wrong or why we shouldn't be looking at them. I think the West needs to start looking at itself and convincing its people to put the blame where it belongs, which is on their own history, and stop blaming the Jews and using them as a scapegoat, and to stop West-splaining to us how we should really feel. This has been another episode of the Jewish Diaspora Report. Don't forget to check us out on social media at jdr.podcast. And check out some of our other episodes on your favorite podcast source. We'll see you next time.